Hi, welcome back to another Pastor Vic's Nuggets of Truth. And I'm really looking forward to this series of messages. I believe that we're probably going to take about three messages to get through this, I believe, very important aspect of purpose. And what we're going to be talking about, what we're working our way towards, is the three encounters that Jesus experienced as he began to fulfill the Father's purpose for his life. Now, I know that there's been a lot of confusion about purpose. And the best way to settle the question, I think, as a Christian, as a believer in Jesus Christ, is to look at the scriptures and also to look at the example that Jesus gave us. He gave us an example by his life. That's part of what Jesus came to do. He came to be an example to us. And in fulfilling or in understanding our purpose, we need to distinguish between our spiritual purpose and our natural purpose. The two are tied together, but there are two aspects, and we need to get the spiritual purpose straightened out before we can begin to look for a natural purpose for our life. Now, our natural purpose, of course, is to be a son, a daughter, a father, a mother, a family leader, and a provider to our families. But what I've learned is that if I can keep my relationship with Jesus first and primary, then he will help me by his Spirit to be an effective father, and to be an effective husband, and to be an effective leader in not only in the family, but in my environment, in the area that I live. So it's important to understand that there's a spiritual and a natural purpose, but we need to address the spiritual first. Spiritually speaking, we are to worship the Lord and have fellowship with him. And we are to be about our Father's business. And so the question is, what is our Father's business? Well, in my last post, remember, I started to talk about purpose. And now it's time to see how to find your purpose in Jesus Christ. And the finding the purpose of your, finding your purpose, you need to understand, is a process. One of the challenges of finding your purpose in Jesus Christ is realizing that it takes time. You see, the Lord is not limited to our timetable. 2 Peter 3:8 says the following, "But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day." Finding your purpose is a process, and there are certain steps in the process that are common to everyone who is called to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Now, speaking of the word disciple of Christ, we need to recognize that there's a difference between a disciple and a follower of Christ. A follower is a person who's not necessarily mature in their relationship with Jesus. Followers are often attracted by earthly benefits, such earthly benefits of being a Christian, and sometimes are very satisfied to accept a very shallow relationship with the Lord. They seem to be more attracted to what they can gain rather than what they can give. They accept Jesus as Savior, but have not learned that he must be Lord of their lives as well. Now, let me be clear. When I use the term follower or I use the term being mature, I'm not speaking about how long you've been a Christian, but I'm talking about how deep and how far you have traveled in your journey with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, sometimes in Christianity, we use the word carnal, a carnal Christian. A carnal Christian is simply an immature Christian. They have one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom, and they can't really walk that way very well for very long. Now, look at what the Apostle Paul says about baby Christians in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. And he says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ." Can you see that what he was saying is that if I have to speak to you only about natural things, then you're still a babe. But if I can talk to you about spiritual things, then you truly are walking in the deep things of God. Then in verse 2, he says, I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For until now, you are not able to receive it. And even now, you are still not able. And so what Paul was saying is that I began my ministry to you in the church at Corinth. I began my ministry to you feeding you milk because that's what you needed. And that milk of the word is learning how to live like a Christian, learning what the character of God is and embracing his character as being part of your character. But now he says, I want to go deeper. I want to get into the meat of the word. But unfortunately for the people in Corinth, they were still very carnal. For in verse 3 it says, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? In other words, what the Apostle Paul was saying is that when we become mature in Christ, we're not acting like everyone else in the world. There is a difference which is visible, a difference which can be heard, a difference that can be discerned by the world. And so we don't want to remain carnal, but we want to become deeper. We want to become disciples of Christ. Now, let me be clear. All Christians start as followers. We all do. But the Lord's intent is that all followers become disciples. In the Great Commission, Jesus charges us to go and make disciples. As a matter of fact, it's mentioned in each of the Gospels, but I'll take the one from Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse 19. Jesus says to his disciples, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And so Jesus is looking for something deeper than followers. A disciple is a soldier of Christ. A disciple differs from a follower in that a disciple is committed to the cause of Christ and is willing to pay the price to follow Jesus. Yes, there is a price to following Jesus. If you're content with being a follower, that means you're not willing to pay the price. But at some point, God is drawing you, God is calling you to take the next step, and that is one of a soldier, one who is willing to pay the price to follow his King. The Apostle Paul likens a disciple to a soldier. And he writes this to his the person that he is mentoring, and that is Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, here's what the Apostle Paul says to Timothy. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men and who will be able to teach others also. And now here we go with the soldiering. Verse 3, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one who entangles himself in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he's not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. And so our desire is to please the one who has called us, who has enlisted us as disciples or soldiers of Christ. Now, when I was a young man, I was in the military, and I understand the concept of the chain of command, or as the Bible puts it, being under authority. And I understood obeying the Lord, the orders that I was given. And that's a key characteristic of a good soldier, a disciple, understanding what it means to be under authority. Matthew chapter 8, beginning in verse 9, talks about the captain who was who understood that he was under authority and how he could give commands and instructions to those that were under him, and they would do what he said. And in the same manner, when our King gives us instruction, we are expected to follow through no matter what the price, no matter what the cost. When you look at the disciples of Jesus in the New Covenant Testament, you see that they gave up everything to be a disciple. Jesus may have started with 12, but then there were 70, and then there were 120. And those men and women revolutionized the world. Today, the largest religion in the world is Christianity. Most of the world's population would define themselves as Christian. That would be about, I may have used the word most, but it's actually 31% of the total world's population. Over 2 billion people are known as Christians. Now, once you make a distinction between a follower and a disciple, you can then take a deeper look at purpose. Remember, I said that finding your purpose was a process. So how do we begin this process? And I think the best example of this process is to look at the life of Jesus and see how he came to understand and embrace his purpose. We have a glimpse of Jesus growing up in Luke chapter 2, and I'd encourage you to read Luke chapter 2, verses 41 to 52. But in that episode of Jesus' life, he was only about 12 years old. Recall that the family of Jesus and others were traveling to Jerusalem to observe the Feast of the Passover. And then after the Passover, the family was returning in a caravan back to Nazareth. And on the way, they realized they didn't know where Jesus was. And so they were traveling in a caravan of pilgrims, it was common in that day that family members might drift apart. But after some time, you recall, if you read the story, you'll read that they discovered that Jesus was not in the caravan, but he was in the temple. And so when they searched for him and they found the young boy, they found him teaching in the temple. But here's the amazing thing. The temple leaders, the scholars, were amazed at the young boy of 12, that of his understanding of the scriptures. He had a depth of understanding that was unparalleled for not only for adults but for a young boy of 12. So what does this glimpse of Jesus as a boy show us? It shows us that Jesus must have studied the scriptures. And this is our first step in the process of finding our purpose. We need to be like Jesus. You know, before we go searching for our purpose, we need to understand the Word of God. The Word of God is a light unto our feet and a lamp unto our path. We need to be diligent in the Scriptures. Now, when I say diligent, I don't mean simply a head knowledge or intellectual understanding, or being able to quote or memorize Scriptures. But I'm talking about having personal spiritual revelation of the Logos Word and the Rhema Word of the Scripture. God is speaking to us through His Word. And we need to learn how to discern His voice in the Word and through the Word. So that's the first step. Now, we know nothing else about Jesus until he turns 30 years old. Now, we know that Jesus himself said that he did things in order to fulfill the law of Moses. That simply means that he chose to follow the law while he was ministering or in the early days of his ministry. And in Judaism at that time, a person could not be a priest until he hit the age of 30. Now, we know of his birth according to the Gospels. We get a picture of Jesus when he was 12. Then nothing until Jesus turns 30. This tells us that there is timing in God's kingdom, and only the Lord can control that time. You can't speed it up. You can't slow it down. The Lord is never early. The Lord is never late, but the Lord is always on time. Now, Jesus' call to the ministry at age 30 shows that he was ready to take on the discipleship role with his Father in heaven. And this is a good point to recall that Jesus was fully human, that while Jesus was all God, he was also all man. Now, of course, I'm speaking from a Trinitarian point of belief. I believe there's only one God, but in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is a mystery, and we accept this by faith. Now, the scriptures are pretty clear that Jesus was human in every respect. We know that he felt pain. We know that he thirsted. We know that he was hungry. We know he felt love. We know he felt sadness. So we realize that he had all of the characteristics of being a human being. Listen to what Philippians 2:5 says. And the writer says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation." Here we go. "Taking on the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross." Then in Hebrews 2:18, the writer says, "For in that he," meaning Jesus himself, "has suffered, being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted." And then Hebrews 4:15, "For we do not have a high priest," meaning Jesus, "who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." And so I believe these three scriptures, and there are others, really point to the humanity of Jesus Christ. In other words, Jesus was like you and like me. He was human in every aspect and every respect. He wasn't human and then had God moments, but he was human like you and me. And so the question is, if Jesus was fully human, how did he perform supernatural signs, wonders, and miracles which confirm the kingdom of God? And I know that's a question that you and I have for ourselves. How are we to represent our King being so human? In our humanness, we are weak. In our humanness, we don't have supernatural ability. In our humanness, we lack the spiritual insight if we rely just on our humanness. But we know that there were three important events in Jesus' life before he entered into full-time ministry. Number one, he received the Holy Spirit at his baptism. Number two, he was in the wilderness and there experienced what I would call the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and he came out of the wilderness in power. And number three, he was given his mission statement. The Father revealed to him why he was there and what he was to do. Now, we don't have time to discuss these three important areas of ministry in the life of Jesus that we should recognize as a pattern for us. But I promise you next time, we'll go into these areas in much more detail and you'll understand what I'm talking about. Jesus is 100% God. Jesus is 100% man. We can't understand that, but it takes faith to believe that because we believe what the scriptures say. Amen? And so bear with me and look for my next post where we will look at these three areas. God bless you, and may God truly, matter of fact, I feel compelled to pray for you right now, Lord Jesus, right now, for those that are listening and receiving what I have to say, which I believe you are giving to me to give to them, Lord, that you would bless them, open their minds, open their eyes, open their hearts to see you in a way they've not seen you before. And we thank you for your love, your forgiveness, and the fact that we are accepted into the family of God. God bless you. We'll see you the next time.